You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Is there anything more for us to say? Have we said it all already? Well, really, that's up to you, because we're here for you. And as you birth more desires, have more questions, come to a deeper understanding of who you really are and what you truly intended to experience this time around, well, then you ask questions that are inspired from your inner self and from your perspective. And those questions, those desires, whether you verbalize them or not, are received by us. And it allows us to reach for higher and higher and higher places. We become a vibrational match to thoughts that have not been expressed before the way that we are expressing them now. And so our delight comes from being with you, receiving your vibration, and allowing us to reach for places that have never been available before. While all thoughts that have ever thought still exist, and all thoughts that will ever thought exist somewhere in the realm of possibility, it is you who allows us to reach for those thoughts, because you are sifting and sorting through a reality intended to allow you to discover who you are as a relation to source, who you are as an aspect to source. And as you come into the fuller awareness of who you truly are, well, then you have new questions and you have a new perspective. And that perspective allows you to glimpse at the larger part of you, who you were intending to be all along in this lifetime, at this time of awakening, in this gathering, in this boot camp that you're all a part of. And so this brings great excitement to us who are here for you, who gain great pleasure, exhilaration, and excitement by working with you to discover new ways of expressing what we have been teaching, so that for you, you come to a new level of awareness, a higher perspective, a higher vibration, and you become beacons of alignment for others to follow, because you are now in the process of adopting a new approach to life where few other humans are even at the vibrational level to be aware of yet. Yet they will be coming. They will be coming en masse, because this time in your reality has set the foundation for them to understand that their old approach to life was causing more confusion and greater intensity of manifestation events, for the sole purpose of awakening them to a newer understanding of how this reality works and how their approach of control is ineffective in this reality. In a reality based on the law of attraction, it is literally impossible to control your way through life. In fact, that approach to life, where you have the control over yourself, your others, your conditions, in the perception of that control, which does not really exist, but you perceive it to exist, you exert more and more and more levels of control. And as you do that, you bring up greater and more intense fears, and you build upon your limiting beliefs. And so the general population who is able to control or have this illusion that they can control their reality through the manipulation of conditions and their own behavior build upon their limiting beliefs. They strengthen the limiting beliefs. They gain momentum of those beliefs, and those beliefs are reflected back through their vibration into the reality they're perceiving. And they tend to heighten and adopt more limiting beliefs in an attempt to further control their conditions, to protect themselves from the very emotion that is allowing them to see these limiting beliefs in the first place. And so as they shy away from limiting beliefs and gain more sense of control over their environment in the effort to shy away from further negative emotional pain, they spiral further down in limitation. You are all on the opposite trajectory. You are all identifying limiting beliefs, pushing past fear, determining the difference between irrational fear and rational fear, realizing that there is far greater numbers of irrational fears that pop up into your daily life. And as you see those fears for what they are, you are lessening the intensity of your limiting beliefs so that you can live a less limited experience of life. And you are peeling away the layers of that infinite onion to discover who you truly are and to allow your true attributes, talents, abilities, and passions to be brought forth into your current reality. As you move forward in this current reality towards greater levels of limitlessness, you face fears that you had not faced before, but you know the process for tackling those fears, for dismantling those fears and pushing past the fears. You understand the root of those fears is in limiting beliefs, some of which you may not have encountered yet. And as you are encountering these limiting beliefs, you know how to process them. You have the tools for that now. And so it's now not a decision whether that belief is true or false. It's either empowering or limiting. It's now not a decision whether I should maintain a behavior based on limiting beliefs. It's whether that belief is limiting or empowering, whether it stops me from moving forward or allows me to move forward. And thus, you are moving into a completely new realm of existence, one that has only been glimpsed at by those who have naturally been able to somehow process their fears. Yet, even those people have processed fears in certain areas of their life, not in the entirety of their life. You here are able to look at a fear, no matter what area of your life it is in, and understand if it's empowering or limiting. This brings forth a completely new approach to life, one that works perfectly with the laws of the universe and the mechanism of physical reality, one that you intended prior to your birth. And so here you are, a small group of you who are now sifting and sorting an entire new level of awareness. And this is why it's so exciting, because this has never been accomplished before. There has never been a group of people coming together in order to seek a new approach to life, a new awareness of who they are, a new path of self-discovery. And there is so much new in this that it broadens and opens up new paths that have never been explored before. And with that, we would like to talk to you about anything that is interesting to you, anything that's exciting to you, and anything that is confusing to you. And we will seek to gain clarity and chart a new path. Who would like to go?
I've got a question. So the boot camp finished sort of 2 weeks ago, and I really felt the not being in the boot camp, and I really felt, I know we never regress, so I know that, but the last 10 days in particular have been really challenged. It's almost like a lot of the limiting beliefs are coming back, and they're coming back fast, and so I've been really struggling to process them on my own. So basically this morning I was like, holy shit, what am I doing? I can't do this. So I'd really like I feel better because I've processed even more today, but I would really have your insight into that. You know, how much of that onion am I going to have to keep peeling? Because it's really hard.
So can you see that it's a perception of reality, a perception from where you are now, and this new perspective on yourself, on the people around you, of your world, of the things you're interested in, is being altered. And from this new place where you stand, as a result of the expansion you gained through consistent and intensive spiritual practice, you've come to a new level, a level that is vastly greater than where you were before in terms of awareness. And so while you're heavily involved in the boot camp, which we will say that you're never out of the boot camp, you're always in the boot camp, you always have access to it, you always have the work that was there, you always have the forms that were there, you can maintain a daily spiritual practice. Gary and Tracy went to the gym today. And what they were doing is they were taking time out of their day in a practice of physical exercise in order to maintain their physical condition, their physical bodily condition. And some people religiously exercise every day to maintain their shape and size and well-being. And the same is true with the spiritual practice. It can be maintained every day. And if you are in a space where you are able to spend a bit of time every day meditating, thinking about what you appreciate in your life, what you feel grateful for, setting your intentions for the day, and then at the end of the day, processing whatever manifestations you, events you had in writing with your own hand. If you took that time, then you would build the same spiritual physique as you would if you had spent an hour at the gym. And so your life is not about simply work or simply sleeping or simply eating or simply enjoying relationships or simply watching TV or simply a spiritual practice or simply a physical practice. It's all of these things. There's time for this and time for that and time for this. But you might have gone through a boot camp physically to learn how to exercise. And at the end of that, you had changed the shape of your body. And a week or two goes by, not doing what you were doing before, and your body tends to regain the shape that you had prior to the boot camp. You see? So it's the same exact thing. You had spent an intensive time on a spiritual path, and then you felt relieved that you didn't have to do the work anymore, and so you took a bit of time off, and here you are with the perception that what you have learned is all gone. Yet, we will tell you that the experience of that boot camp has raised your vibration, and that perspective looking backwards is what's causing you to feel a bit of angst and to feel a bit of worry, because here you are at a new place. And so everything looks new, especially your future. What does the future hold for you? And now that's just simply looking too far ahead. So you're spending your day looking in the past at where you were. You're looking, spending your day looking in the future at where you're afraid to go. Instead of looking at the moment, understanding that you have accomplished something that few humans have accomplished. You have the awareness of a new approach to life. You have tools to process limiting beliefs. You have now a bit of excitement about what's to come because you're receiving inspiration. You're receiving ideas. You're receiving invitations for new things. And so it might seem a bit overwhelming. And this is true of any time you go through any expansion. You get to this new level and you just have to become a vibrational match. Well, we would say to stabilize your vibration with this new place. A bit of time to get your balance. And as soon as you do, well, then you'll be bored with all the little minutiae that used to plague you. And you'll be ready to take on something new. And so if you think it's coming too fast for you or too slowly for you, this is just based on that imbalance that you have at this new higher level of existence.
Okay. That's good.
Does that solve every question that you've ever had right there?
Maybe, yeah, I went through the same thing. I went through the same thing. As soon as the boot camp was over, I took some time off and I I felt like I was right back where I was before the boot camp. I was afraid I would forget everything. I got really depressed and I thought, I can't do this. What am I doing? And it was very hard. I had many days where it was really hard for me. I was really feeling really bad that I wasted all my time and my money and what am I doing here? And I can't do it. I'm okay now. Joshua helped.
Yeah.
But I experienced the same thing you did. I just felt like I was right back where I was before, that everything I learned, I kind of forgot.
Yeah. I think with me, what I've noticed is that I'd actually been writing, I'm worthy. And I actually I really processed this morning. So I spent an hour crying my eyes out because before I didn't feel worthy and I didn't believe it. I wrote it with my hands, but actually, did I feel worthy? Did I really believe that? No. And it's only this morning when I processed it that now, yeah, I can write I'm worthy and really believing it. So I guess maybe that there's also that as well, you know, there's just the difference between writing something and really believing it, feeling it, and sort of like 100%, you know.
Yeah, the way I was feeling, I was thinking, I finally got to the point where I'm like, God damn it, I did all this work for 8 weeks. I'm not going to just let it all go. Mm. And I kind of gathered myself together a little bit and said, no, I'm not going to just let it go. This is all happening for a reason.
That's right. Yeah. And it's a practice. That's all. You get all these teachings that we got and now practice it. And I was just talking to Fabienne before this call. It's important, or I think I find it very healing and exciting to just talk to people, reach out, you know, like this group, we can always talk to each other forever and ever, you know. But if you ever feel like that, reach out, you know, have a conversation, you know, talk to Joshua now today. Hi, Joshua.
We'd like to share an analogy that we brought up in Diane's answer. And that is, imagine yourself as a rock climber. And you are ready for this rock that's in front of you. You're excited by it. You're inspired to climb it. And as you look up this rock, and we'll say it's 100 feet tall, you are confident from your place in the bottom of the rock that you will enjoy the climb of the rock. And so you start where you're inspired to start, and you climb up the rock, and you get to a place halfway up where you can now stand. And you, from this place where you're standing, you are looking down, and the ground seems further away, and you do not want to go there. You do not want to fall off. And then you look up, and the top of the rock seems too far away, and you are afraid that you can't make it. In fact, you can't see any place to put your hands or your feet. It seems as if it's impossible to climb this rock. It's too tall. And you look at it, and you say, why was I even trying to climb this rock in the first place? Who am I to climb this rock? I can't make it up this rock. What was I thinking? And eventually you get comfortable with your place, and there is no other place to go. You have to keep climbing. And so as soon as you get aligned with that idea that you're going to climb again, suddenly a crack appears in the rock right in front of you. And you place your hand naturally and easily in that crack. And suddenly a place appears where you can put your foot. And you simply start climbing again. And when you reach the top of that rock, you will feel exhilaration. Yet there will be other rocks to climb, and this climbing will never be over, because that's what you are. You are a rock climber. And as you get to a new place, you will inspire others to climb the same rocks that you've been climbing.
That was a great analogy, Joshua. That really helped me a lot. It was like an aha moment.
And so those of you who have completed the boot camp are in this middle of the rock place, where you've come to what you think is as far as you can climb, and yet there's always more. And the next step might seem impossible, yet all you have to do is steady yourself on this new expanded place where you exist, and a crack will appear to you. And that crack will not be too far above or too far below. It'll be right in front of you.
Amazing. Thank you.
Excellent. Who else would like to talk?
Thank you.
I just want to piggyback on all that, that Joshua, how you present it is like, okay, you do this and this and this. And like, I've been having a shit time with the self-talk. Like the self-talk that I have is like horrid. It's like, whoa. And so it's overwhelming. And so I know, I hear you like a little bit, but it just feels like, it just feels overwhelming, the whole process. And so it's hard to believe what you're saying, like that, I don't know.
And we can talk and 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 talk. And that's only go so far. Can anyone else talk about their change in self-talk and what that's done for them?
I think, Joshua, that you, the key to it is the practice of it, like Tracy was saying. The more I immerse myself in the teachings, the better I understand it, the quicker I understand it, and the more clear it is for me. I do enjoy, you know, definitely talking with everybody else in the group if I have an issue or something like that. But for me, if I'm having a doubt or a low moment, I'll go listen to a Joshua Live or, you know, read something in the book or go back through my notes and do it again. But I've continued the daily practice and the manifestation event thing just because I feel it's so important for me to continue my growth. Fabian, when you said, do I have to continue peeling this onion? Absolutely. For the rest of your life, you're going to be peeling this onion. And the moment I took that, really understood that and realized that this is how it is, embrace it. I embrace it. So what if shit happens? Doesn't matter. I'm in the, there's a bigger picture going on here that I don't have enough information on. So why worry? Why worry?
And talk specifically about your self-talk.
Oh, my self-talk is, you can do this. You are doing this. There's no way this could have come to you if you weren't ready for it. You're on your path. You're exactly where you need to be to get to where you're going. You are worthy. You are, I am the love that I desire. I don't need anything outside of me. I am self-contained all within. Whatever I need is I already have. I don't, you know, I the worthiness thing, I totally get that one. That would took me a while. But, and, you know, I went through the one-on-one program. I mean, I went through all of that for over 6 months. And, you know, I've been practicing this a long time. But the daily thing, I thought for, oh, I'd only need to do it when I feel like it. No, now I make myself every day do the daily practice. I meditate several times a day just because I love to meditate. But the daily practice I thought was really important, and just reminding myself that I couldn't, this is where I'm supposed to be. There is no wrong. Okay, there's no wrong. So if something happens, it's all for me. Embrace it.
And so how does this compare to your self-talk 3 years ago?
Oh my God. You guys, 3 years ago, I couldn't get out of bed because of my self-talk. Nobody loves me. I have no purpose. I don't feel good. I mean, just, it was total opposite. I would try to self-talk myself, but I didn't have the tools that I have now. Now I have these tools. I know to listen to a podcast or journal. If I'm down, I'll journal. And sometimes it's just a couple lines. Sometimes it's pages. But sometimes it's just a couple lines. And I'll be like, oh yeah, I got that. Oh yeah, I remember that. And I can move on. But it is a process. And I feel you have to have that commitment to the process to keep at it. It's not just like, oh, I did the boot camp. Look how good I look. Like you were saying about Gary and Tracy, if I say, oh, look how good I look, and I never go to the gym again, well, and continue eating, it's all going to come back. So there's a lot of negativity surrounding us, and I notice it more and more these days. I mean, even my husband, I love him, accept him completely now, completely. But there's just a lot of stuff that bombards me as a test. How about now? You still accept him? How about this? You still accept him? Yes, 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 yes.
That's great.
And Catherine, I also think it's important while you're in the boot camp, like for me, the 8 weeks I was in it, I spent so much time immersing myself in it. Like I made sure I did like all the assignments. So I think I'm missing one, but I did all the assignments, everything. I did everything. And I would read it, reread it before I went to bed at night. I'd read it again. I did the meditations. I really immersed myself in it completely. And I committed myself. I didn't do it halfway. And that was a big deal for me to really commit myself to that. Yeah. But I really did. It wasn't until after I was out of it, I kind of let myself slide a little, but I'm okay now. But I really fully committed myself to it. And in doing that, I got so much more out of it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really, it can be helpful as well for you to have some anchors, some thoughts that you know you can relate to and that you're going to believe and that are going to help you on the path to feeling better if you're in a place where you doubt yourself. So it's really good to know these thoughts that work with you. So learn to know which they are and how they can help you trace your way back to alignment.
You can do what you can do based on the vibration and the stance where you exist at this point on your spiritual path. And so there's no reason to say I should be doing more than I'm doing, because what you're doing is the perfect amount for you. And if you're ready for more, you'll be inspired for more. And so you could do more then. There is no time limit. If you adopt a daily spiritual practice, whether that's 5 minutes a day or an hour a day, it doesn't matter. What you'll be doing is moving further along your path to the life you intended to live. And when you are ready, you'll be inspired for more and inspired for more and inspired for more. Yet there is a process here of peeling away that onion. In the past, what you were actually doing is adding layers to your onion. This is the process of coming into physical reality, because when you come into physical reality the day you're born, you have no layers on your onion. And you place layers on your onion throughout your childhood based on trajectory and the intentions you set prior to your birth. And so you might get caught up into a life where you start placing layers on your onion very early and continue through late in life or to the end of your life, as you will see in other people around you. You have come to a part now where you've begun the process of slowing down the addition of new layers and actually peeling away layers. So if you can imagine yourself as a tanker ship in the ocean, you are now turning off the forward engines and you are allowing yourself to drift without adding new layers. And as you start to process the limiting beliefs that you have now using the tools that we have given you, you are gradually turning the ship around. But there's momentum there. There is an approach to life that you have lived with for your entire life. There are beliefs that you believe are true. Whether they're limiting or empowering, you believe them to be true. You haven't accessed them and you haven't processed them. And this will all be coming as we continue. But you are in this transitional phase right now, which might seem very intense. And the intensity of it is because of the time limit that has been assigned to it. Yet that time limit is arbitrary. In fact, you couldn't do it faster than 56 days. It would not be possible. And if it takes 56 years, that's fine too. Or 56 months or 56 weeks or whatever it is for you. So don't be too concerned about that. In fact, the longer you take to complete this boot camp, the more likely you'll be to continue your daily practice after it ends. And when we say ends, we put that in quotes, because it truly never ends. It truly never ends. You will always have access to this. You will always have access to each other. And you will always have access to the expansion that you gained during the time that you were doing the work in the boot camp. Like any practice, once you take a break from it, it is natural that you're old habits will reappear. And so we say, right now, we are in the process of looking at limiting beliefs and uncluttering the onion, uncovering who you truly are, unmasking the authentic self that exists. And so we have turned the momentum around from adding layers to our onion of limiting beliefs to now thinking about removing those layers. And those layers, as they get deeper and deeper, become a little bit more intense. But yet, at the same time, you raise your vibration so that you're ready for it. And so the intensity of any limiting belief shows up as the intensity of negative emotion. And that's,
well, Joshua, can I ask you something about these limiting beliefs? So what I'm hearing as well is that even the negative self-talk is a limiting belief. So, like, you know, I have a few friends that are like this, just like Kate. And so what I'm hearing is that, like, if I'm, and I'm sure I've had them in the past, and just like you, Wendy, maybe you can help out in this answer, but say, oh, I'm no good, or I'm fat, or I'm ugly, nobody likes me, stuff like that. Those are limiting beliefs. Can you just write them down instantly, like in this boot camp that you're in now, and say, all right, this is not true, right? And then prove that to be wrong. That's how do you get rid of those, that negative self-talk, because I know so many people have it. And I look at them like, why would you talk to yourself like that?
If you start with the premise that the thought is a manifestation event, and the thought that I'm not worthy is the thought that can only come because you are emitting the vibration of unworthiness. And so had you not been emitting that vibration of unworthiness, you could not attract the thought of unworthiness. Mm-hmm. And so in your vibration are your sets of beliefs. And so somewhere in that vibration is the belief that you're not worthy. That is the first stage. That's the first example of a manifestation event because it does not feel good. Mm-hmm. It brings forth negative emotion. Now, if you are constantly in a habit of negative self-talk, you won't notice these things. You will just assume that they're true. It's only when we bring forth the idea that these untrue thoughts come from the existence of a limiting belief that is also untrue, that you have an ability or the chance to process it. If you ignore it, then it has to show up in your reality. One, because your reality is a reflection of your vibration, which is informed by your beliefs. And two, in order to get you to understand, it's the feedback system, what your limiting beliefs are, what your vibration is, how you're being, how you're operating. That's what this system is. It's nothing more. You can feel unworthy your whole life and gain tremendous expansion from that. And when you transition to the non-physical, you can see how your propensity towards unworthiness unfolded in this life. And you can gain the benefit of the new perspective of unworthiness. Because of the non-physical, you feel completely worthy. And so by feeling completely unworthy in a physical existence, you see the great chasm. Yet you've already felt unworthy enough to see that great chasm. And so now that you've found your way to these teachings or to any other teachings, you can stop and say, this was all based on a limiting belief that was false. I adopted it as part of my trajectory to get me to where I wanted to go into this life. And I've done the expansion and traveled that path long enough right now. So now what do I choose? I choose worthiness. Why worthiness? Because worthiness is aligned with who I really am and will allow me to live out the rest of my life in a way that I prefer, to create a reality in a way that I prefer, to become an example of worthiness for others to follow so that they can find their way from unworthiness to worthiness and gain the exhilaration, not just in doing that, but in assisting others to do that as well. That's where you all are. And whatever that lack is, lack of worthiness, lack of money, lack of appreciation, lack of satisfying relationships, lack of satisfying work, wherever you are, you can reverse all those things, but you do it first through understanding that it's all derived from a limiting belief. And the limiting belief shows up as this negative self-talk or manifestation events that bring forth negative emotion.
And I think for us humans, consistency is a big part of it. Because when I first started out with Joshua, they told me I'm an aircraft carrier going full steam ahead. So I had to turn the engines off, let the boat come to a stop. It was a process. And all through that, I would just continue to tell myself, yes, I used to have this limiting belief that I'm not worthy, but now I choose. I choose. Wendy gets to choose. I am control of me. Only thing I can control is me and my thoughts. And my thoughts now are going to shift from unworthiness. I'm turning my cheek and I'm looking down the road towards worthiness. Do I feel I'm worthy yet? No, but I'm headed there. And that gave me relief.
And now you're in nimble jet ski.
Yes.
That's great.
Who else would like to jump in?
I can understand my own version of where you're coming from, Kate. I mean, with the self-talk stuff and then also the even difficulty in believing some of this sometimes, or like understanding how it all fits in. So I've been, I guess, studying this stuff for 3 years, you know, and I still go through these periods where I have these like intense bouts of negative emotion, or see how I'm still being really hard on myself. But the question that I like ask myself is, well, like, you know, like Gary asked Wendy, or Joshua asked Wendy, or whatever, you know, how does it compare to 3 years ago? And it's, I mean, immensely different in that way. And also, like, what has helped me is releasing the attachment to the idea that there is a there, that there is a life of my dreams that I'm going to be manifesting, that there is a, you know, like, and that was something that, that I hear sometimes things being put out as the secret or as the thing that's going to get you where you want to go, but it's never the thing. It's always us. Like, if the boot camp is working, it's because of the way we are taking and applying the information, you know? And so I think anytime we're grabbing onto a device to do something for us, it's easy to end up kind of disappointed if we're not, like, I mean, realizing that we are the ones that are doing the thing. What I've started doing with my self-talk, like, is seeing that, and it's the spiritual practice, like the meditation and all of that, what that has given me is the ability to detach from the thoughts or from the self-talk, like, to know. So even though the same thoughts pop up that popped up 3 years ago or like early on in my life, it's easier to see that those are not me, that is a voice that is not who I truly am inside. You know, that's just this pattern of, I don't know, almost like a radio. And it's like, I wasn't paying attention and the radio dial slipped back to where it used to be tuned to. So it's a lot easier to like detach myself from that. But another thing is asking myself how it serves me. And I think Joshua just touched on this too, but like, you know, with all of this that I know, with all of these, I don't know, this expansion that I have and these like incredible, I mean, just as intense on the opposite end of the spectrum experiences that I have, where I am filled with love and feel completeness and feel at one with all of humanity, like with my financial abundance stuff and asking myself how this poor self-talk serves me, it helps me relate to and have compassion for people that experience this, you know, because I think what I've seen is that the people who don't have the negative self-talk, they have negative other talk. But instead of turning it on themselves, they turn it outward. You know, and so it helps me have compassion for all sides of that. But I don't, yeah, I mostly just want to say, like, I understand.
And we would say right here that you just described that you are living the life you truly desire right now.
Yeah. And I see that. And it's scary to tell people that because I don't know. Because I don't, it's not at all like I thought it would be. Like, I still wake up feeling sad and anxious, you know, but I see how it serves me.
Get to wake up feeling sad and anxious. You get to resolve the sad and anxiousness.
I get to show my kids that they can work their way from being sad and anxious back to neutral, back to like, hey, you know what? Maybe we could play. I always feel better when I play. Like,
and then in another year you will be living the life you desire and it will be slightly different than this life. And in another year you'll be living the life you desire, the life you truly desire, because you are living the life you truly desire, because every aspect of this life is part of the life that you desire. And you don't want to end up at some place that looks like some fantasy that you might see on TV. What you want to do is live this life. You don't want to be a housewife of the rich and famous on TV. You don't want to live in a mansion. You don't want to have that, what from your perspective, old approach life, fake life, inauthentic life. You want the authentic life with all the emotion and all the experiences that go along with it. so that as you travel along your path, you will have this logbook of experiences and expansion that you can share. In order to what? Well, that's what you'll find out. Why are you doing all this work? Why are you getting all these experiences? Why are you getting all these feelings? What is it all leading you towards?
I don't even care anymore.
The expansion of the life you desire. Unfolding perfectly at the right time. Everything happening perfectly for a reason. And this is true of all of you. You are now living the life you desire. And you are moving towards the new and improved expression of that life you desire with each and every expansive experience. And things will come up. And in the coming up of these things, you will feel fear. And you will either process the fear and move forward, or you will not process it and be limited by fear. And each step on that path, whatever direction you take, is still expansive. So you cannot get it wrong. It's impossible. You're always getting it right. And all you're doing is having this imaginary vision of some life you think you want based on whatever beliefs that you have or whatever ideals that society has given you. And yet truly you're all doing the life that you intended to live right now. And all you are doing is processing the difference between a limiting and beneficial belief and a limitation and an inspired action. And so it's really the interplay between the fear that prevents you from moving forward and the inspiration that you're receiving. That's all it is. And even that doesn't make any difference. Doesn't matter at all. And so what you're really doing is feeling negative emotion or feeling positive emotion. And now you have control over that based on how you choose to perceive the conditions in your life. And as you say, things are working out for me, you are aligned with your inner self's perspective. Who says things are always working out for Kyla? And when Kyla says, well, not right now, if they're not. I feel fear right now because I'm perceiving that things aren't working out. And Kyla's inner self says, things are working out even though you can't see them. And so the approach to life of allowing and love is based in this faith that there is a system and that you are part of the system and that you can engage the laws of the universe to work for you to move to where you prefer. But also there's part of that that says you do not know what you prefer. That there's an inner force, these intentions set prior to your birth, that make up a huge part of this momentum towards the life that you intended. Because if you came in at 2 years old and you said, I'm going to create the life I want right now, you would say, I want to adopt no limiting beliefs. And yet you had to adopt certain limiting beliefs to birth certain desires, to cause you to go on a certain trajectory that would end you in a place where you are now to look at these beliefs in the first place. And everyone has done the same thing. And somehow you have made your way here. And it's all worked out perfectly. And yet if you never made your way here, it would still work out. And this is, of course, coming from a very high perspective. In your life right now, you are perceiving that things could be better. And you say, if this and this and this and this happened, I would feel good. And this is the tendency of a physical experience of life. And you will never get away from that tendency. But you can objectively look at that tendency and say, that is not the most effective way to accomplish what I truly want. The way to accomplish what I truly want is to be who I truly am and to think in a way that aligns with who I truly am and to offer up to your reality an approach that says the reality is fine as it is and will improve and all it is feedback. If you can do that, you will just be a little bit more effective in the creation of what you prefer. Excellent. Would someone else like to jump in?
Yes, I would. I'm getting very good at finding my limited beliefs. They're kind of popping like crazy. As far as proving them false, that's harder.
Excellent. Give us one limiting belief.
Well, we had this thing happen the other day. We had noticed, not really noticed, we kind of had an idea, but we saw the actual numbers of the business increasing at the store, which is great. So you would
think, what you perceive is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the perception, what you're doing is you're saying that the numbers are going up, and so it feels like things are working out for me. And so I'm going to use that as my excuse to feel great. And that is absolutely fantastic. But it's still a perception. Cool.
We didn't kind of do that. You know, we felt like we could feel the apprehensiveness about it all. Like, oh my, that's going to be more taxes or whatever it is. Mine was different than Chris's was. Chris was like, how long is this going to last?
Exactly. So then you can also use that exact same thing as your excuse to perceive the future's not working out for you. And in that perception, you're going to feel negative emotion because your inner self is saying, yes, this is a good thing. Yes, it's always working out for you. Yes, this is part of it. You see that this is a choice that you make. I look at these numbers that are more than they were before, yet they are still numbers. They don't have any inherent meaning. And you can judge them as good or bad. That is up to the individual. Now, if you choose to see them as good and perceive them as good, then there is an empowering belief in there. There's a beneficial belief. Belief is things are working out. This is evidence that things are working out. If you choose them to believe they're bad, that's the indication of a limiting belief. The limiting belief is there's going to be more taxes. It may soon end. This is only a bump. Can we handle the new business? Whatever it is. And so let's look at the limiting belief. The limiting belief is it may soon end. And where will we be? And you can say, well, what is the belief behind that? It could be based in the idea of financial abundance, that I am not an abundant person, and this is why this cannot sustain itself, because it will always go back to prove to me that I lack financial abundance. Now, that is a limiting belief because your birthright is to experience abundance of all things. Your birthright is to be able to see yourself from a higher perspective so that you know that when it is flowing in, it is just because your vibration has risen to a new level. And that is natural. The limiting belief says that I have to derive my income from this kind of effort and work and struggle. I can prove it's false because I haven't done any more effort and work and struggle, and yet the numbers have gone up. I can prove to myself that in the past, the money always came when it was necessary. I can prove to myself I've never been homeless. I've never gone without a meal. I've never gone without a breath of air. I've never had this ever happen to me in false. That idea that I am not an abundant person is false. And I can prove it by showing times in my life, and I can show it by what's happening to the general welfare of the planet, that there is more wealth than ever before, that wealth expands. You can look at the money supply in 1900 compared to the money supply in 2019. It's expanded. Where did it expand from? It's expanded because abundance expands as desire expands. It's not a finite pie. And so you can use all these things. You can look at all the new billionaires that are there. You can look at all the wealth that surrounds you. You can look at all the wealth in your life compared to how you were 30 years ago or how the rest of humanity is living. There are so many ways to prove any limiting belief is false, but again, this is a practice. The practice is writing down one line how that limiting belief is false. And then as you start to do this, you are really receiving this proof from your inner self. Your inner self is the one doing the writing. As you get out of the way of it and just write whatever comes to mind, you will channel your inner self, who will be feeding you the proof that these limiting beliefs are false.
Good.
Excellent. Is there anyone else?
Well, I was just going to say, today's reading, I really liked the snow, the driving in the snow scenario. And I was trying to apply it to a couple of things today and realized everybody's in their own snow world.
Or and, sunny world.
Or very sunny world. And trying to practice kind of this morning, just as my self-talk was going on and I was worried about a situation, I hadn't heard from a friend. And I'm just assuming.
Excellent, excellent.
Let's unworthiness.
Let's start with the exact scenario.
Okay. So I have a client who I know just adores me.
Okay.
And I had heard she called somebody else, not another service, but she had called on somebody else to help her with the project. And it was similar to what I would do for her. And I've not heard from her since. And I've written her twice saying, hey, how's it going? Everybody, you know, everything working out. And I haven't heard back from her.
Okay, so you were inspired. Or did you react to an urge?
I think it was more of an urge. And that's what.
So you acted on an urge, right?
Mm-hmm. And so I wrote her an email.
You were feeling negative emotion. Mm-hmm. The negative emotion occurred as a limiting belief. I'm not good enough. She's going to find someone better. That sort of thing.
Or I did something wrong. Or I hurt her feelings. I said something, did something. I have no idea. And I don't really believe that. On the other hand, how come she's not writing me back? How come she hasn't called? Not for work, but just for, hey, thanks for checking in on me. I'm doing fine.
So what is your
fear?
What is your inspiration to do next?
Well, this morning I wrote down, you know, call her. And then I went, oh, fuck, no way.
Why do you not want to call her if that's inspiration?
It's just,
you don't want to be put in a position where you might feel more negative emotion. Because from your imagination that you are using, you are creating a scenario that does not exist. And that scenario is, well, I didn't appreciate this thing you said. I didn't appreciate the mistake you made. I don't think that you're right for me. Blah, 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 blah. It's going to reinforce the limiting belief.
Right.
So the first step is to process that limiting belief. I am worthy. I can't make a mistake.
Yeah.
It's not possible. She's a vibrational match to me when she's a match to me. And when she's not a match to me, she'll be a match of anyone else. If she goes off, it's for my benefit. Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything wrong. I can't do anything wrong. I don't need to maintain this relationship with her just to receive an income, because I am abundant and it can come from anyone. I don't need her to stick around to maintain my idea of worthiness, because I am far beyond this task that I do for her. This task I do for her is my way to experience who I am, how authentic I am, how powerful I am. In this task with her, you get the benefit of this manifestation event. Now, you can either process it or you can act on urges to change the conditions. If you process it without acting on those urges, because now the action that you've taken by calling her twice has brought you to a completely different place than you would have been had you not called her at all.
Right.
Because now here you are with the more intense negative emotion that you've done these two things and still she hasn't called you. Do you see the difference here? Had you not done that, you'd be in place A, compared to place B. Right. Now, had you not done it is an excellent place to start. Not acting on urges is an excellent place to start. The second part of this is to process that limiting belief, come into alignment, and then receive inspiration. What is the inspiration then? Now, let's say the inspiration now is to call her. Fears pop up. The fear is she might not be happy with me in some way.
Right. And
if she isn't, then I know for a fact that I will take a limited perspective and my inner self is going to send me the message of negative emotion. And I do not want my inner self to send me that message of negative emotion. So what do you do? Do you not act? Do you stay limited? No, the inspiration was to call. So you must call because the benefit is going to be there. Now, that benefit might be a brand new manifestation event that you get to process. Yay.
Yeah.
This is what you're looking for. You're looking for this way to process manifestation events. That is what you want so that you can get good at it. You can be a ninja at it. You can be an expert at it. You can slice through them so that you will not have to write down this information in the future. You will not have to do the physical work. It'll occur in your mind. And as soon as you receive the inspiration or the negative emotion, you will turn around and you will do the work internally and you will come back into alignment and you will push past fear and do what you're inspired to do. So you were inspired to make a phone call. Now, is that really inspiration or is it an urge? It depends on your attachment to the outcome. What is to be gained from this phone call?
Well, my thought is now I've been chicken and doing an email. And
absolutely.
What's the worst thing she's going to say? She goes, yeah, you're right. Last time you were here, I didn't understand a word you said. And so I haven't been calling you. I'm sorry. And so I'll be not feel worthy. I'll be embarrassed.
Why would you be embarrassed? If she didn't understand you, how is that your fault? Are you supposed to be the person that solves everyone else's problems? Of course.
Yes. Yes.
Here it is. You make the phone call without any attachment to any outcome. Your only purpose is to make a spiritual connection to that person. Your only purpose is to express your love and acceptance of them from the highest perspective you can wrangle. Okay. Now, how can you ramp that up? How can you lean into it? You could do a video call. You could go to her house and knock on the door. Mm-hmm. You could invite her out to lunch. You could lean into this experience from the highest perspective possible with every beneficial belief in your arsenal firing on all cylinders. And if they were firing on all cylinders, you would take that little speck of inspiration, call her, and you would blow it up in pure love. Love for who she is and her desire to change some condition. And that condition is you. And you love her and accept her for that urge that she may have. Yet again, you don't have all the information. Right. So you have to go in blank, completely absent of any attachment to an outcome so that you can be receptive to the spiritual connection and the information gleaned. You see, you do not want to accomplish anything in life. What you want to do is accomplish a spiritual connection and gain the guidance and information contained in that connection. If you can do that, your effectiveness in living the life that you intended to live would be off the charts. And you would move rapidly from a limited experience of life to a far more abundant, free, limitless experience. That's all that's ever happening here. The stakes for which you're playing for are minute compared to who you really are. And so as you take those little tiny stakes as big and important and scary, you have to play a small life. As you push through them and pour your love into them with complete detachment from any meaning it might have on your persona, you now enter a new arena, a completely new arena where there is nothing that can affect you outside of you, that everything comes from within to without, and that your reality has to shift to reflect this new level of vibration that you're offering.
Okay. Here I go.
Excellent.
Okay.
We're looking forward to seeing what happens.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good.
All right. Thank you very much. That was great.
Well, we have never had an experience like this with people like you who are willing to stretch the bounds of your limitations, to push past fear, to look inside, and to bring forth magic that exists within all of you. And for that, we are more grateful than you can ever imagine, and that you are all loved by more than you can ever count, more than we could ever express, more than we could ever convey. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.